Welcome to Ortho Tutorials. My name is Ezekiel Oburu. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Nairobi Spine and Orthopedic Center, and I also teach at the University of Nairobi. Our topic of today is eosinophilic granulomas. Thank you very much. When I started this podcast, my aim was really to teach undergraduates simple aspects of orthopedics. And one of the things that many undergraduates found daunting or difficult is when they have to deal with all these different type of bone tumors. And there are some which are more common than others, and probably in the future we will record tutorials that just deal with how you deal with a radiolucent lesion in the bone and what are the things that you could do. But also, if you just look at these tumors individually and you just listen to a short tutorial like the one that we're going to do today, it is not as difficult as it looks. So, eosinophilic granuloma. This is a rare, self-limiting, benign, histiocytic lesion that occurs in isolation or as part of two systemic syndromes, that is Hahn-Schuller Christian disease or Lettera CY disease. It is an aneoplastic disorder characterized by infiltration of histiocytic cells, that is monocyte stroke macrophage lineage. It involves the reticuloendothelial component of bone marrow, parenchymal organs, and skin. So what are the types? This can be remembered by the mnemonic EHL. And for those of us who practice orthopedics, EHL is extensor hallucis longus, but this is just a simple way of remembering these conditions. So it can either be eosinophilic granuloma, which forms 70% of the lesions that are seen, or it can be Hahn-Schuller Christian disease, which forms 20%, or like we have said above, Lettera CY disease, which forms 10%. So how are these different? Eosinophilic granuloma tends to be in patients who are 5 to 20 years of age, and its only manifestation is osseous, and the patient may have one or two lesions. Hahn-Schuller Christian disease, really you can think of it as multiple eosinophilic granulomas, and they are widespread, and they may have systemic manifestations. Classically, the triad of diabetes insipidus, enophthalmos, and skull defects is the way it will present. The patient may present with osseous lesions and mild to moderate visceral involvement. They may present with lymphadenopathy, hepatosplenomegaly, skin lesions, or pulmonary disease. What about Lettera CY disease? This is much more severe condition. It is often found in infants who are less than 1 year of age. It is probably unrelated neoplastic conditions and a rare disseminated disease of infants with fulminant cause. The majority of visceral involvements, reticular endothelial system, pulmonary and anemia. And these infants may actually die from hepatic failure. There is much less osseous involvement than the visceral involvement. So what is the epidemiology of eosinophilic granuloma? The peak incidence is between the ages of 5 to 10 years of age, with a male preponderance of about 2 to 1. Genetics have been implicated to play a role, but there is no clear genetic pattern of inheritance or locus to be determined. So how will the patients present? Pain and swelling are the most common presenting symptoms, with pathological fractures of the involved bone sometimes. Vertebral involvement may cause back pain and stiffness with neurological deficits in extensive lesions. When you have extraosseous involvement, you may have things like ear canal mass, post-auricular swelling, ear discharge, and hearing loss are seen when the temporal bone is involved. You may also have periorbital lesions that may mimic cellulitis, which may be unresponsive to antibiotics. Jaw involvement may present with a jaw mass and pain, whereas involvement of the skull may present with a headache. What about systemic manifestations? Well, systemic manifestations are less common, like we've said above, but the patient may have a skin rash, hepatosplenomegaly, lymphadenopathy, bone marrow infiltration, hypopituitarism that manifests as central diabetes insipidus, and exanthema, as we've said in patients who have got Hans-Schuller-Christian disease. What will you find on physical examination? On physical examination, there is usually tenderness on palpation of the affected region with restricted range of motion, limping, or neurological deficit. So, how do we diagnose this? One may choose to do a complete blood count with differential, and this really is to rule out other conditions that may mimic eosinophilic granuloma like osteomyelitis and other malignancy. What about x-rays? X-rays will show an osteolytic lesion with or without marginal sclerosis, and the bone cortex may be thinned, expanded, or destroyed. What will you see on biopsy? On biopsy, you will see proliferation of Langerhans cells. What is the treatment? If the patient has a solitary bone lesion, there is low risk if some anatomical regions are involved. And these asymptomatic lesions may be treated with a wait and watch approach, and this may be really all that one needs to do. If they're symptomatic, though, one may decide to do curettage and excision as part of a biopsy. If there is bone lesions in high anatomical risk regions, lesions involving the odontoid process or regions of the skull, other than the vault, multifocal bone involvement, or systemic manifestations, this may be treated with systemic chemotherapy like vinblastine and prednisone. What's the prognosis? Patients with solitary bone lesions may regress spontaneously and have good prognosis. High-risk patients like multisystem involvement, skeletally mature patients, more than one bone involvement, skull-based involvement may have a high risk of recurrence and complications and subsequent worse prognosis. So what are the complications? The patient may develop a pathological fracture, growth disturbance, hearing and vision impairment, increased risk of Hodgkin's and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Thank you very much.